So much of our world as we know it is difficult. It's out of place. It's not as it ought to be. The things we have hoped for, the plans we have made, the promises we pin all of our dreams on fail us time and time again. God knows. That's why he sent his son Jesus. At Advent, we not only look back to the Messiah who came, but we celebrate the promise of the Messiah who will return. All our hopes, all our desires, all our dreams hang on the promises of Christmas. The arrival of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promised supreme loving act, becoming one of us and humbling himself to be born in a manger to be with us. He loved us so much he became one of us so that we could know his love and carry that love with us to the rest of the world. On this second Sunday of Advent, we dig into the promise of love that comes with the arrival of our Savior. This is Charlie Harper, Associate Pastor at Starkville First and the Pastor at Connection. I hope you will dive into this Advent season with us and explore the promises of Christmas. Christmas is all about being with loved ones for most of us. It's what we look forward to. Getting to see family we may only see once or twice a year. We travel, we move mountains to be with the people we care about the most. And so we look forward to that season. We look forward to this time of holiday when we're not having to work and we can be with those we care about, and we do anything and everything. We rush to finish work stuff and get it finished so that we can be there and be present with them. Admittedly, that is a very big challenge these days, because our desire to be there is matched with apprehension about this virus that's going around. It just makes it that much bigger a challenge. We want to be present. We want to be with them. It's another layer of obstacle that keeps us from being with the ones we want to be with. But you know, the reality is Jesus moved every single possible obstacle to be with us. He did everything he could. He loved us so much that he moved mountains, heaven and earth, and gave up immensely to be with us, to be one of us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 puts it this way. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those first few verses, Paul is talking to the church in Philippi. And there's a couple of phrases there that jump out. He says, if there's any consolation from love. Consolation from love. What does that mean? If there's any comfort in knowing that Christ loves you this much, if there's any emotional encouragement or comfort from knowing Christ himself, from being in relationship with him, that's how he sets it up. If that's true for you, then you ought to have the mindset that Christ had. The other phrase he uses in there is this word compassion. He says, if there's any compassion. Now, that word compassion comes from the Greek word splagnitzomai. And I know I've talked about that before, but it's this, it's a fun word to say, by the way, splagnitzomai. But it's not just compassion like, oh, that's nice, or oh, I feel sorry for you. Splagnitzomai is this deep, gut-wrenching, heartfelt compassion. It's when we see something or we see a set of circumstances and our hearts are moved to action. That's splagnitzomai. That word occurs throughout the Gospels right before Jesus does something miraculous, before he heals somebody, before he helps somebody with feeding the 5,000 or does something major. He sees a set of circumstances, and the Gospels tell us that Christ was moved with compassion and then he acted. It's the same word. And so Paul using that word is no accident here. He wants us to know that if we have any comfort, any sense of compassion, deep sense of love because of our connection with God, then we ought to be of the same mind and have the same love. So he's saying, here's what we're supposed to be doing. If this is who we are, then we should be acting in this particular way. We should be sharing in Christ and being like Christ in this very same way. He says, do nothing. If this is all true, do nothing from selfish ambition. Do nothing from your own vain agenda. Live in humility, putting the interests of others first. So Paul says, if Christ has done for you, then you should also move with the same compassion that he's filled with and do for others in the same way. But then he goes into detail about the mindset of Christ in verse 5. Talking about Jesus, he says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be exploited. Other translations use the word grasped, held on to. But emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Stop right there for now. So he says, Christ, God, took the form of a person. He did not consider his status something to be held on to or so important. He wanted to be with those he loved so much that he emptied himself, that he humbled himself, that he put us ahead of himself. He became one of us out of love. He loved us so much, he became one of us. And not on a triumphant king, but a baby in the manger. Born to poor parents, living and suffering and dealing with the things that we deal with because he loved us that much. It even says he was obedient all the way to death, death on a cross. So when Paul says, what's the mindset that we're supposed to have? He says, if we have the love of Christ in our heart, if we have comfort from knowing Christ loves us so much, then we should have the same attitude that Jesus does. And that attitude is one of being willing to empty ourselves too. To not hold on to things or our own agenda or our own possessions or anything that we think is more important than God, to be willing to give it all up, to surrender it, to empty ourselves, to be generous, to be giving, to be sacrificial and give it all away. Nothing is to be considered something worth being exploited or grasped. That's the mindset of Christ. He became one of us out of love. He became the presence of God with us. We could use that word Emmanuel, and that's what it means. God with us. He literally walked with us, did what we did. And so when he says, have the mindset of Christ, he is talking about a practice of being spiritually present with others. You know, the Christmas season can be a challenge. People who have lost loved ones are going through holidays without them, sometimes for the first time this year. And sometimes the best thing that we can do is be that gift of gifts to them by being present with them. But then the third one's probably the hardest. Well, yeah, maybe. Humbling himself. We don't like to be humble. We don't. We like, look what we did. We like to be, look what we've accomplished. But the mindset of Christ is one that puts the interests of others ahead of ourselves, and that takes humility. And humility is not weakness. Humility is, I'm so confident in who I am, the way Paul puts it. I have so much comfort in knowing Christ loves me. And I have so much compassion filled in me because of my relationship with Christ that I'm able to be sacrificial toward others. If there's any comfort, any compassion, any value in following Jesus, then we should be like him for other people. That's what he's saying. Having the mindset that Christ does. And then the fourth one, he was obedient all the way to death on the cross. Now, none of us are being walked out for execution these days, but this idea that having the mindset of Christ would be, we would be willing to obey God even if it does cost us our life, is the mindset that Christ had. He didn't just follow some rules and wasn't just a nice teacher who went, he was obedient all the way to sacrificing his life for us. Now, if he's willing to do that, if he's willing to give up heaven for us and willing to give up his life for us, the question becomes, what are we holding on to? You see, if Paul says, have the mindset of Christ, the question becomes then, how do we do that? How do we cultivate this mindset of Christ Jesus? How do we become more Christ-like in the ways that I'm talking about? If Christ can give up heaven and we are, what are we holding on to that we should be willing to give up? What does living from humility look like for us? We're not living in a manger, but what does putting the interests of those we care about, and even people we don't even know that well, especially during Christmas season, what does putting the interests of others first look like for us? And how can we make putting others first a spiritual practice? Not just a good idea, but an intentional discipline. What are we going to do this week, especially during Christmas season, when everybody's talking about gifts and giving stuff, and lots of us are talking about what we're going to get, what's on my list that I need to get for Christmas? The mindset of Christ says, empty what you have for the sake of others. And so how can I intentionally empty myself and practice humility and go out of my comfort zone and do for others? If Christ can come out of heaven and become a baby in a manger, and if Christ can be obedient until death on the cross, then what he's calling us to do is emulate him by being sacrificial and humble too. But we can't just talk about it and go, I'm a humble person. We have to intentionally practice things that give us the mindset of Christ. And that's hard. But it's what Paul's challenging us to do. Christ loved us so much that he gave up everything for us. If you're worshiping with us this morning and you're watching this, we're going to have some music following. Will be on the screen with some worship music. And so here's my challenge for you. While he is playing, as you are listening to that music, ask yourself these important questions. What am I holding on to too tightly that I need to surrender? It could be a behavior, it could be a possession, it could be a relationship. You know, you and God can have that conversation. What does being humble and emptying myself look like? What does it need to look like? And what spiritual practice during this Advent season can I do to make me more like Jesus? So as you're listening to the music, those are the questions to contemplate, to share with somebody if you're watching it with them. and throughout this week to come back to and reflect on. If Christ can empty himself that way, what is he calling me to empty myself of to? So as Will plays, think on those things, pray on those things. And if nothing's coming to mind, ask God to show you the answer to the questions. Sometimes it takes deeper reflection than, oh, I know. Sometimes we already know, and we just don't want to be confronted with that question. Maybe it's time we did the heavy lifting as we wait and anticipate the day of Christ. Not just the birth that we celebrate that he came before, but as we prepare ourselves and anticipate Christ's return, we can give ourselves away too. Our challenge is to cultivate the mindset of Christ so that our lives are filled with his love, his humility, and his obedience. Let me pray for you. Gracious God, we celebrate you. We are so thankful that you loved us so much that you became one of us. You endured the pain we endure, the trials we endure. You endured more than we can hope or imagine so that we could have a relationship with you. And that is what we celebrate at Christmas, your arrival. Thank you for emptying yourself to be with us. Help us to empty ourselves for others too. In your precious name.